Welcome back to the BCC Pod. My name's Evan.
I'm Andrew.
And we are so glad that you've joined us back here on BCC Recap. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together, and we bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Wherever you're tuning in today, we are so glad that you're here. This past weekend, we kicked off our series, The Testing of Abraham, and we talked about the infamous story of the binding of Isaac. This was also a three-for-one sermon, or a sermon in three parts. Do you want to talk a little bit about just kind of what your sermon was about and your main point and challenge?
Sure. So this past week was really one-third of a sermon, as I shared at the beginning. I'm trying to kind of do all these sermons, really, these three sermons kind of as one sermon themselves.
And yeah.
What we are looking at is what's called hermeneutics, which is really the exegesis, which is the understanding of scripture into our daily lives. And so I was just trying to explain how you do good scriptural interpretation and how do you avoid doing bad scriptural interpretation. And I wanted to share too with how hard scriptural interpretation really is. There are some really clear passages where scriptural interpretation is a lot easier, but then there are some really challenging ones like the binding of Isaac or the testing of Abraham. Like this is a really challenging story with lots of questions to it, with lots of ethical considerations with it. And I just wanted to raise the issue that the Bible is sometimes hard to interpret. And then how do you do that? And I tried to give people seven different principles to follow in the interpretation of scripture.
Yeah. So with those seven principles, I figured maybe we can just go through the one by one really quick. So I'll say the principle and you can just give me a brief idea of what it is or what it's trying to get at. So the principle of context.
So you got to read a verse by what's before it, what's after it, what kind of book it's in, and just making sure that you're reading things in context.
Authorial intent.
Meaning that you want to interpret scripture with what the original author meant for the original audience.
The principle of genre.
That you interpret things based on what genre it is, whether it's like songs or poetry or law or history. You interpret things differently based on the genre.
Historical and cultural background.
That a lot of the Bible has historical and cultural pieces to it. And the more you understand those pieces, the better your interpretation will be.
Love.
Love is that we are called to love God and love others. And every interpretation needs to be either teaching us to love God deeper or to love others deeper.
Community.
That we don't do this alone. We're called to actually interpret together as a community, discerning with one another.
And the principle of Christ.
That we should make a beeline to Christ and trying to understand how it Jesus plays into whatever it is that we are reading as all scripture points to him.
Crushed. That was so good. Yeah,
there we go. That's that.
At some point I want to get like a little sound effects board. I know technically, I guess like 2/3 of your sermon would have been cut for time. But is there anything that you wanted to get to in this kind of like first part that you didn't?
No, I think I tried to jam enough in there. I think whether it was a square peg in a round hole trying to put too much in or not. But no, there wasn't much I ended up cutting. I think the only thing I would have loved to dive more into is that I think of those principles I gave, four or more scholarly, which is fine. But the ones that matter most are the principles of love, community, and Christ. Like if I were to rank which principles matter most, those three would be at the top.
Yeah.
And then the other ones are important, but if you don't get the last three correct, you're not going to get the first four correct. And so the main ones for me are the principle of love, the principle of doing it within community, and obviously the principle of Christ, of relating things to Christ and who he is.
Before we continue on today, we want to let you know about membership exploration. If you've been rocking with Bethany for a while or just recently got involved here, membership is for you. On November 23rd, we're hosting a membership exploration, which will give information about how we view membership here at Bethany, why it matters, and what the process is like. Andrew, you're actually leading that time, right?
I am, yeah.
Worth it?
I think so. It'll be a fun time together.
Yeah. If this interests you or you know someone who would like to get involved, you can check out the link in the description. We hope to see you there. All right, let's get back into it. All right, so before we dive into our questions today, I do want to just let the listeners know a couple things. One, after our hiatus, if you sent questions in during the end of the Last Grace series. We are still going to get to them, and I do have them. We just switched over our text providers, or I should say, our one text provider got bought out by another text provider. So I didn't have access to them when I thought I would. So if you have sent in questions, we will get to them next week. But for today, I do have some questions prepped for us. So the first one is, what does Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac reveal about the nature of faith? Is it ultimate trust or dangerous obedience?
I think it could really go either way. And that's what I want to invite people to just sit with in the story, that there are times when there are ways of interpreting this text where it's really about diligent obedience, and it's about like instant obedience on Abraham's behalf, where the text makes it seem like God gives him like a direction and that he then takes that direction immediately. So there's ways you can read the text that way. And then there's also the ways we could read it as dangerous faith, where obviously, if you put yourself in the perspective of Isaac, like this was not a good thing, or not a good way to go.
Sure, Isaac has some things to say.
He would have some, like, if we were to bring him up, he would have some some different thoughts on things. And so I think it can be read either way. And so we're going to talk about that specifically in sermon part 2 and 3. Each of those will kind of focus in on the different ways of interpreting things.
Our next question says, how can modern readers or us as modern readers hold on to the sacredness of Scripture while still acknowledging the complexity and tension?
So I think we should really do two things when it comes to Scripture. And I think this should be our posture. I think we should be willing to wrestle with the text, like deeply, like really, really go into it and really, really wrestle with what the right interpretation is, especially around these difficult stories. I think we should have a willingness to wrestle. But then I also think we should have a willingness to submit to the Scripture. And I find that in terms of, and this is a bit of a generality, but I think it plays out to be true, that in some Christian circles, they do one or the other. That progressives tend to wrestle really well with the text, like asking lots of questions, bringing up doubts, like trying to put things in right perspectives, all that sort of stuff. And I think that's really great. Evangelicals tend to do really well with the submitting to Scripture. If Scripture says it, we try to follow it and try to put it into our lives. But not both groups, I don't think, do both well. And I think we're really called to wrestle and submit. And that is the appropriate kind of posture when it comes to sacred Scriptures, that the sacred Scriptures invite us to actually wrestle with them. That's a big part of it. Job is all about that. Even this text that we're looking at is all about us wrestling with the interpretation. But then since it's sacred, we're also called to submit to it, that the Spirit leads us in and through that. And so I just think we need to have both those two things. And if we only do one, it can lead us into error, or to have a malnourished faith might be a better way to put it. If we don't have both the willingness to follow and the willingness to wrestle.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And I think it's funny because I wrote it, but the question, I think, phrases in a way that is saying that, like, acknowledging its complexity and tension is not keeping it sacred, or is not acknowledging Scripture as sacred. And I think the work of wrestling with Scripture and doing those things and submitting to it, that is holy and sacred work. That is treating Scripture, that is having a high view and a very kind of like, a sacred view of Scripture, right?
And I think, like, if we assume, and this is correct, this is what I believe, if we assume that God authored the whole text, it should be complex. Why would we think that every single portion of it would be incredibly simple and clear and easy to understand when we have a very amazing and a big God that we're actually, when we're wrestling with it, trying to say, okay, what is the complexity in this? What is the nuance? Like, we would expect that. And I just think that that actually shows proper deference to God to be willing to wrestle with what he has invited us into. And I do think that he wants us to do that because we learn that way. The more we wrestle, the more we learn. And I actually think that when it comes to difficult texts, that we learn them best in and through wrestling. And so I think that's a part of our human nature. So yes, God designed the sacred text to be wrestled with. And that's why we can, and we can expect complexity because God is the author and there's going to be so much there, so much more than we might see at first glance.
So question 3 says, how do you decide when a biblical passage should be read literally, metaphorically, or theologically?
I would say yes. I think I think this is where it gets to the complexity of texts, that they should be read in all three veins. They should be read literally in the sense of what are they literally saying and what's the purpose of it. They should be read in a metaphorical way because there's metaphors at use in all the texts, really. And they should be read theologically. And I think you can have different readings at different times and that you can pull those out. We've lost that where we seem to flatten scripture so that it can only mean maybe one thing. Mm-hmm. But in ancient Jewish tradition, there was different kinds of readings and all of them were invited. There was a literal reading, there was metaphorical, there was allegorical readings, and all of them were meant to substantiate your soul in some way, to actually like ground yourself a little bit deeper. So you could take like the Song of Solomon and read it just as a love story between a man and a woman. And you could read it that way. You can also read it, as many ancient Jewish interpreters did, as a love story between God and Israel. You could read it that way. You can also read it theologically for some of the principles for marriage that would be a part of it. So to say a text only speaks in one voice, I think actually is diminishing the voice of scripture and especially the spirit through it.
Yeah. Question number four, why do you think interpreting scripture is such a hot topic?
I think because people get nervous.
Yeah.
They just get nervous that if things aren't clear, they start to wonder, then is God not clear? Or it makes them just feel a little bit worried when there could be texts with different answers. And I think it also gets wrapped up into hot button topics that we might have and the interpretation of scripture. Mm-hmm. And so I think, again, if we come back to my earlier point of, if we know that we're called to both wrestle and submit, that takes away some of the fear because, yes, we're going to wrestle with it deeply, but ultimately with whatever the text means, we are going to submit to that. Mm. And I think, as I said, that's the right posture, but it can help people who are maybe a little bit worried that a rereading of a text might lead them astray in some way. Mm. And I don't think so, because if it's God's text and we're reading it correctly or deeply and wrestling with it, then it's never going to lead us astray. He'll only lead us towards those things that he has for us. And so, I just think wrestling and submitting is a way to avoid maybe the nervousness around, oh no, what does this text really mean? Mm-hmm. And do I understand it rightly?
Yeah, I think too, if complexity or if that wrestling is something that brings up a lot of like nervousness or worry or those sort of things, that it's pointing to something else. There's probably something else faith-wise to figure out. Like I think of it sometimes, or I've explained it to somebody once, like a Jenga tower, right? Mm. Where I'm like, if this passage of scripture or how that's interpreted is the thing that's going to make the whole Jenga tower fall, you probably have a larger issue than just that passage of scripture, right? Or that thing. And I think sometimes like in looking for certainty and looking for stability, right? We can sometimes build on top of things that weren't meant to be built on, right? And sometimes that can be things that we believe about scripture too.
Yes. And I would like to put it kind of this way, that our faith is not based in the Bible. Hmm. That is just, actually, that's idolatry is what it's called.
Right.
Our faith is built in Jesus Christ. So I believe in the Bible because of Jesus, not the other way around. I don't believe in Jesus because of the Bible. Hmm. I believe in the Bible because these are the inspired words of Jesus as God to us. And I just think it's having the right foundation. And when your foundation is the Bible as you understand it, any little Jenga piece, if it touches that how you understand it, will cause that thing to fall. Mm-hmm. But if your faith is really built in the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and he is reigning and ruling right now, and you've experienced him and you know him in your heart, you're not going to be worried the same sort of way about rereading texts, because your faith isn't in the Bible itself. Your faith is in the person of Christ, which is the correct place to put it.
Mm. Yeah. Last question for today says, in what ways can this story shape our understanding of faith, obedience, and human responsibility?
I think the story of Abraham, of this one, has all of that within it. That as we start to dive into it, specifically this Sunday, we'll do the traditional interpretation. We'll see how it affects our obedience. We'll see how it affects our faith. We'll see how Abraham becomes a model for our faith with someone who acts quickly and decisively to do the things that God asks of him, and how he takes steps of faith. We'll also see how he believes in the fact of resurrection and the power of God to move in resurrection ways. And so I think that also will shape our lives. So I think it'll be really important for us to pay attention to the story. And then we'll have an alternative reading where we have a different kind of understanding of things. And we'll see maybe Abraham not in such a positive light, but in a much more dangerous light. And that'll be a different reading for us. But that's
when Isaac takes the mic.
That's when Isaac gets to have some say in what's going on. Yeah.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. We love having these conversations, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics you'd love to hear about, shoot us a text at 905-937-5300. We'd love to hear from you. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC Pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and leave us a quick rating or review. It's a simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you all on Sunday and back here next week. See ya.
See ya.